Hi, I'm Mike White.
And I'm Rob St. Mary.
And we're the hosts of the Projection Booth podcast.
If you haven't heard of the Projection Booth, that's okay.
But we think it's time that you have.
We've been doing this for over 3 years now.
And we think we're doing a pretty good show.
Every week we look at a different film and put it in context.
We try to bring you interviews with the people behind the films.
Or experts on a subject matter covered in the film.
We don't specialize in any one particular genre or type of film.
We try to examine every aspect of cinema.
From every corner of the globe.
Even at 3 years, we barely just scratched the surface.
But we're ready. We're ready for you to listen to us.
That's right. Now's the time to give us a shot.
Download us through our free smartphone app.
Or through Stitcher, iTunes, Geek Juice Radio, Jackalope.
Or our website.
Projection-booth.com.
We'll keep making great shows.
Now it's your turn to listen to them.
Get her done.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. From AsmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
I did read a rather interesting comic book today.
What is that?
You can see this. It's called The Humans.
Oh.
Here, get a shot of that, Chris.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh. So what you got there is an ape biker gang. This is kind of like, it's like Planet of the Apes, only it follows a gang of bikers that... does shit that bikers do, like drugs and sex and violence.
I have nothing to mock you with because I'm on Skype.
Well, I had read a review of it, and it was just a description, really, and I was like, that sounds like it might be interesting, but I don't really need to read an ape biker comic book. And I went to get my supply from my local dealer.
Damn Dirty Apes.
And
is that their name?
And I was telling him some of the upcoming things that I wanted him to save for me. And he said, he asked if I had read The Humans. And I said, no, it sounds interesting, but I don't need another book to read, really. And he's like, well, there's only one book where you're going to see one ape blow another behind a tree. It's like, sold.
Really?
Hand that shit over.
You know the mics are recording.
Yeah, and I'm a big Planet of the Apes fan, too. I love the Planet of the Apes movies.
Did you hear that?
The old ones and the new ones, yeah.
You prefer Chuck Heston or Marky Mark?
Oh, come on.
Heston, man.
You can't... It's not... I don't dislike Mark Wahlberg.
No.
But...
The story was okay, but it was like... It could have been more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was it The Dawn of the Planet Apes? Was that the one that...
Yeah.
That one wasn't too bad.
The last two, The Dawn and The Rise... Both of the Planet of the Apes.
Right, yes.
Those movies I thought were phenomenal. I enjoyed the Mark Wahlberg one. Well, it's the Tim Burton one, really.
I enjoyed it as well. I
enjoyed it because I knew that it was going to be campy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, I enjoy watching old episodes of Batman. They're horrible, and it's not what I like about Batman, but I know what I'm getting into. There's a campiness to it that was understood even at the time.
Yeah, you know, you weren't...
It wasn't campy like a B-movie.
It was that way on purpose.
There was intentional camp there, and Tim Burton can do that really well sometimes, like Mars Attacks is a phenomenally funny movie, I think. But he just didn't hit it out of the park with that one.
No, because most Tim Burton movies, the few movies I do see, usually when they're Tim Burton movies, I want to see them again. And Mars Attacks, just file that under, I saw it.
I've seen it a couple times. I enjoy it.
That's about it.
Hey, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing Unregimented on Facebook, following us on Twitter at Unregimented Pod. You could subscribe to Unregimented on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users, you're covered as well. You can find this show on Stitcher Radio. We also have the player right on the site there. You can now listen to a new episode of a Christopher Media show every day of the week. On Sundays, you got M&M Question Everything. Mondays, of course, Unregimented. Tuesday, you get the Weedsman podcast bonus nugget, and whenever Todd gets around to it, you get the Toddzilla X-Pod. Wednesday, we got a new show. It's the Oddcast with Jenna and John. Thursday, your second dose of Unregimented for the week. Friday, you got the Weedsman podcast. Saturday, another new show, The Captain's Table, for all you guys into nerd culture, we'll say. Your LARPing, your RPGs, video games, any kind of gaming, really. No one's going to cover it on The Captain's Table. So please check those out. Are all at ChristopherMedia.net. You can subscribe for free to all of them on iTunes, Stitcher as well. Hey, if you like what we do and you would like to show your support for us, you can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Please click through the Amazon banner on ChristopherMedia.net and bookmark the page. It won't cost you anything extra, and when you buy something, it will help to show your support for Christopher Media. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings.com, daily fantasy sports leagues. No season-long commitment. You can enter free or paid contests and win your share of over $200 million in prizes. When you click through the DraftKings banner at ChristopherMedia.net, you will get a free first-time deposit bonus when you sign up for DraftKings.com.
So, what else is going on?
Lots of things.
I think I'm the only Walking Dead fan here.
No, right? No, I am.
Oh, you want
it? Yeah, don't ruin it because I haven't seen the last episode. Okay. I didn't see Sunday.
I'm not going to talk about any content. Actually, what you will see on this episode, though, that is completely unrelated to the plot or any characters, is a couple banners and some advertisements.
They had product placement?
No. I'm watching it, not in one of the high-tension scenes, and frankly, and you know, a little bit of dialogue that I probably would have just zoned out on anyway. They flash a banner, and it says, "Attention, satellite customer." Do you have satellite, or do you have...
No.
Okay, so you might not even see this, because I think they can control, like, you know...
Sure.
So, on mine, because we have satellite, we have DirecTV, and it says, you are possibly in danger of losing AMC. This happens, you will not see future episodes of The Walking Dead. And then they had a commercial that was like basically a commercial for The Walking Dead, and here's all the shit that you're going to miss if DirecTV drops us.
You know what, though? That's because they want more money.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
absolutely. That means you're paying more. So you just catch it on Netflix when it comes around.
Right. And then towards the end, there was an advertisement from DirecTV. And it was a little animation with like stupid looking zombies. And it was like, AMC is trying to scare you with thoughts of losing their service. We are committed to providing you the top quality service and all programming available as long as it's at a fair price.
Right.
Well, we were discussing the other day that this is probably... like, probably a lot more of this is going to start happening because a la carte's coming.
Yeah.
And HBO starting it next year with, you can just subscribe to HBO without having to have cable.
Man, if I could trade all the sports channels for, like, a movie channel or something, like, that'd be great.
I told Aaron the whole reason we have satellite dish, because when we first moved in, like, I was Netflix and Hulu guy, and I got a pair of rabbit ears, you know? Yeah. That's all I needed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because it's like, watch the stupid Tigers, you know? I got to have cable. It's the whole reason we only have DirecTV, you know? And now it would just, and if a la carte, and I talked about this with Todd, like, last year, like, man, if they had a la carte, it's all I would need. And it's if this HBO thing goes well, which I think everyone's going to be looking at HBO next year, if that goes well... cable services are in trouble.
It's all going to rely on...
Are they going to do a box? Is that how they're doing it, or just streaming content?
No, it's going to just be like Netflix and Hulu and all that. Oh, it's just stream it online. You watch it on your phone, your tablet, your TV.
Right on.
Yeah.
It's all going to depend on technology, really, on both the capabilities of the people paying for the service and the strength of their lines, which are already being choked by their... If you have, like, cable internet... you have much more potential than they actually give you. They chuck that down because they're afraid of content moving online like it is. So it'll either rely on the strength of the actual hardware out there, the lines already in place, which is subpar compared to the rest of the world, and what HBO can actually do to compress and not lose quality on this shit. And
I think you sound like you care about that stuff more than average. Can they watch fucking... you know,
well, they can compress it.
You know, it's one thing.
I was going to say Entourage, but that show ended like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's one thing to see, like, you know, pixelated images or something like that. You know, you just kind of tune that stuff out when you're watching stuff online. Sometimes when you have actual, like, the image jumping. Or I don't know what the name of it would be, but I know a lot of times when I watch stuff on my computer, if it has a lag to it, the image will kind of freeze and then like block by block, it'll disappear and replace with another one in these like large pixels. I mean, that's what it's doing.
I don't think HBO is going to go out like that. I think they're going to make sure.
Right, and
HBO has recently announced plans for an online-only subscription service next year, free from the bonds of cable or satellite subscriptions.
That's the beginning of a la carte TV.
Throughout the internet, as we look at the ramifications of one of the most anticipated moves in online programming.
Yeah, that's what's giving probably companies like AMC they're big balls.
Adding HBO's vault to that of Netflix, as well as services like Hulu, Amazon, YouTube, combines for a huge catalog of available streaming content. Throw in ESPN's plans to offer content up to a host of online services and CBS' recent entrance into the ring. It seems the cord-cutter dream of a la carte TV service has begun to materialize.
Thank God.
No shit. The streaming revolution.
And for once, the networks are actually out ahead of something. Like, Hulu is everybody but CBS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hulu is Fox and NBC and ABC. They all own it.
Yeah. So the funny thing is with this is once you start breaking down all these different networks and providing them a la carte, probably end up with most people paying as much, if not more, than what they did before. You know, because it's like, oh, I pay $8 for this service, I pay $10 for this one. You know, it doesn't seem as much. And next thing you know, you're paying $120 just to watch television programs or download content.
Yeah, but I'm sure a lot of things will bundle together. I mean, for example, like MTV. I'm sure.
My point with this is though, what the traditional cable and satellite providers are afraid of is losing money. If they were smart, they would have got in front of this technology and figured out a way to market it the way HBO is doing now. And realize that it's not like people don't want to pay money for content. They're perfectly fine as long as they can get it on their own terms. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that are downloading stuff is like, I just don't want to be bothered with, I have to watch this like on a plane or something. You know, they don't have time to sit around at home to watch it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, while they're traveling, while they're, you know, on their lunch break, they're catching up on episodes of their favorite shows on their phone, on their tablet, whatever. So you have to provide the means that people want to use.
I also think, too, a lot of the networks are probably scared that, wow, we're going to have to start trying. Because there's a lot. I mean, come on, look through the guide. There is a lot of shit out there. I mean, I could probably name on these two hands. Here, visual aids, good for audio. I can probably, on my 10 fingers, can name the networks I would subscribe to a la carte.
Right.
You know, some rabbit ears, these 10 or less networks, and have a nice day.
And everybody's in the content business now, too, because I was listening to an interview with the lady who used to write for, like, 6 Feet Under and some other shows for HBO, and she had this new show based on real life experience of her father coming out as a transvestite, and she made it into this show, which sounds amazing. It's stars what the dad from Arrested Development, what's his name, Jeffrey Tambor. She wanted to get this show made, and she took it to HBO because she worked for them, done a lot of work for them in the past, and they were like, we're very interested in this. We go on to kind of buy the rights to this, and we'll see. It may or may not get made at the end, and if it does get made, you're looking at like 2-3 years tops before it hits the air. Mm-hmm. And she took it to Amazon, I think it was, and they're like, we like this. Can you start casting in 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Amazon's model is different because I was hearing an interview with the Indian guy from Super Troopers, Jay Shenroha, whatever his last name is. You know, he directed Super. It's something I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry, but he's got a show on Amazon right now too, and it's you get 6 episodes, and if they're watched, you get to make more, and if you don't, then you got to make 6 episodes and have a nice day.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so I mean, everybody's in the content business now, and now it actually might have to be, you know, what's the word, watched, you know, so you don't get 12 seasons of Full House, you know. Right. You just get shit that's worth being out there.
Right. It's almost like you feel like now it's not like there's just the family that has the Nielsen box, you know, and they're like ruining everything by watching nothing but Honey Boo Boo all day long.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's democratized the content. It's the positive side of them tracking us. Okay, yeah, you're going to throw up, you know, advertisements for shit that you know that I want next to the screen, but I also have a vote in, like, I really like this show, and here's my proof. I'm watching all 6 episodes in one fucking night.
Yeah. And that's dynamite commentary right there by me. I'm calling myself out.
Yeah.
It's the same, yeah, it's the same thing that's happening with the music industry.
It's going to cost more.
You actually
more,
have, you know, what's that?
It'll cost more, though.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely it will. And but I'm saying that most people are going to be willing to pay for that. They want to pay for content and convenience.
Yeah, if I'm paying,
one of them.
If I'm paying right now a month for cable, and if I'm paying that for content that I'm actually going to watch, oh, absolutely, I'll do that.
Yeah.
If Netflix was like $30 a month and they had everything I wanted to watch, I would pay it and just get rid of cable.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, it's how I am, right? It's gladly, because I'm, you know, we're paying all this. I mean, what channels do we really watch, Aaron? I mean, think about it, you know? It's
FXX for mostly for The Simpsons. You watch some sports, and I watch Constantine, which is going downhill fast.
But I mean,
even on the second episode, because it's network. Never. So
we have
that
all
good.
These channels, and we only watch the same ones, anyways. It's right. The same difference, you know. I mean, $100 a month for 300 channels we don't watch versus $100 a month for 20 channels we know we watch. We could have
owned all of the seasons of The Simpsons on DVD already.
Yeah, I know. Instead, we've probably seen them all, though.
Right.
Positive parts of technology for a change.
That'd be nice.
I'm all for it.
Nice pens.
It's like Comcast go out of business. Be a beautiful day.
No. I almost switched to them yesterday, actually, because I have Wide Open West, and I came
I
home.
It.
Yeah, I love Wide Open West, but I've been a customer of theirs for over a decade.
Yeah.
And I had no problems until I got their Ultra TV, and I've had nothing but problems since
then. What's an Ultra TV?
It's like all their HD digital package.
Yeah.
Like DVR records 6 TV shows at once, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the fancy crap.
Problems with WoW? You don't say.
Yeah, man.
I've never had problems with them.
What are you talking about?
When I went Ultra.
Remember our whole little cable fiasco or our internet drama over the summer? That was WoW. That was all started with WoW.
But I have to say,
the cable that was being serviced every other, the internet that was being serviced every other week, it was out or needed a new this. That was WoW.
And it was probably the problem that the AT&T guy found, which was they just had to replace a box outside.
They had to come. They came to my house. And, you know, I know about cabling. You know, but that's their equipment. I'm not touching it. Like everything on the outside of my house. And there was like 3 techs came out, couldn't figure out what the hell my problem was. They replaced both boxes twice. And I came home last night and I had no internet, no TV. I'm like, what the hell? I had to reboot the stupid main box, you know, the media gateway, as they call it. And I was like, I've had enough. So I had this thing from Xfinity, you know, in the mail. It was like a $200 Visa gift card, and I called them.
They don't want you to think that they're still Comcast.
Yeah,
like Xfinity is a different thing.
It's like $89.99, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's for like super uber basic cable, like doesn't include any of my kids' channels, you know. That's ridiculous pricing, you know.
Feels like a DirecTV tells you $20 a month.
Yeah, right. No,
yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, okay, so I pay like $120 a month for cable, which is ridiculous because I don't watch it. And honestly, the Disney Channel isn't worth that. But, you know, kids watch it, whatever. Wife likes TV. I don't even know where I was going with that again. I did it again. Jeez, Pete. But anyways, no, I'm sorry. I did. Yeah, I called Xfinity and I was talking to the guy. I'm like, yeah, I got this thing in the mail. And well, what TV shows do you watch? I tell him, oh, yeah, you know, $99.99 all of a sudden. And he's like, and the guy actually, he comes up and he goes, yeah, okay, so that'll be a grand total of $159.98 a month. And I'm like, for what? And he goes, well, that's your package of 3, you know, like your cable, your internet, your phone, and then he goes, also that's the security system. I'm like, well, I don't need any of that.
Security system.
Yeah, they have a security system now.
I want cable. That's it. Yeah.
Surely you can't put a price on your family's safety.
Well, I kind of do that for a living, so I don't need that. I don't need, and I don't need phone. Oh, well, then that's that's 99. Oh. That's 107, 108.99 a month. I'm like, well, I called.
You're no longer bundling it.
Right. Yeah. It ended up being 107. And he's like, a $50 Visa card. I'm like, no, I got a $200 one. He goes, well, if you read the fine print, it says $200, you know, with the triple pay play package. And it's like, and he goes, oh, yeah, it'll be $79.99 to install it. I'm like, no. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the guy's, all he has to do is hook it up at the side of the house and it's done. He changes cables from WoW to him and they're done.
Right.
I'm not paying $80 for that.
Yeah.
They used to give you the option to install it yourself.
Yeah.
The first time I got WoW, they just mailed everything to me. And I hooked it up myself. But it seems like there's a lot less focus on customer retention these days with these companies, both internet providers and TV providers.
I think their attitude basically is like, just fucking pick. Quit bitching about it and just pick. You're going to get what you get. This is it. Xfinity, yeah, you get a whole lot more stuff for that, you know, for right around the same price. But
I mean, the whole soap opera we had started because AT&T wouldn't cut me a deal. I've been a customer there for like a decade in some form, whether it was cell phone, cable, internet, or all three at some point, and they wouldn't cut me a deal.
Yeah,
you know, I was told like twice by two people, there's nothing I can do for you. I said, well, I'm taking my money elsewhere. And I did. I went back with my tail between my legs. But what's funny is when I came back, all of a sudden, oh, we can cut you all sorts of deals. Where the fuck were you 6 months ago?
Fuck AT&T. I had, so I went there to a couple of years ago to get internet service at the place I was living at. They said, yeah, you know, we can hook you up with it. It'll be this much a month, but you've got an outstanding balance with us. And I'm like, what's that all about? They said I owed them like $79 from some phone bill or something like that. And I was like, I don't know anything about that. I'm like, I'll get back to you on this whole thing. Let me look into this $79 you say I owe you. Well, I never did end up getting internet service from them because my landlord didn't password protect his router, so I didn't need it. Uh-huh. And then I started getting bills from AT&T. They're billing me for internet service. They didn't give me any equipment. They didn't send anybody over. But they're like, oh, well, you said you wanted it. They just started billing me on the internet. So then I had to go back and argue with them over that.
Yeah. Please show me my box. Tell me what these charges are for.
That's what she said.
Wrong choice of words. No, but it just seems that one thing I won't knock WoW for is the customer service was great.
Mm-hmm. That's why I like them.
But the technical service blew. Whereas AT&T, their technical service is great. The customer service blows.
That's how they get away with it. They're like Verizon. Oh, trying to negotiate a contract with them. Like, fuck you. They're Verizon. Yeah.
See, I had them
right
4 years ago. I'll never have them again. They were just incompetent the entire time. The fact that I fought with them most of the terms of my actual service with them about an upcharge. I upgraded. I added a channel, like, within the first couple of months I moved in there at the beginning of 2010. The end of 2011, I'm moving out of there, still arguing with them over the charge that they said they waived that they kept accidentally billing me for and kept threatening for like two consecutive years to shut off my service every month, you know? And finally, when I was just canceling, I'm like, I'm moving. I don't want you. And it was like, why? It's like, because I'm still fighting with you over the $60 charge that you said you waived 2 years ago. And ever since then, never again. I don't like all-around incompetence.
They have the best service, though.
I got
always
into
have
it.
Signal.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. I might have to go back to Verizon because I find myself out in nicer parts of the state lately where my shitty cell service, which is on the T-Mobile network, is non-existent there. Nobody's using T-Mobile in Birmingham.
Right. They're like, yeah, right.
Yeah. So, but
see, I almost switched to them when I got
to
I
was T-Mobile. Up for
to Verizon.
Oh.
My phone contract was up here like a month ago. I'm not call me cheap. I'm not paying $40 a month for a smartphone access fee or whatever.
Yeah. I paid that. I had a BlackBerry. It was, I think it was $50 a month extra. For BlackBerry.
So they're like, yeah, $70 a month, unlimited. Yeah, sweet, I'm in. And then, you know, I go to finalize the contract, and, you know, it's doing the whole are you sure thing and give me all the charges, and it's $110 a month. Whoa, wait, what the fuck happened to $70 a month? And then I see that fee, I'm like, fuck you. You're the only person that charges that fee. You're the only carrier that does that.
About a decade ago, I got into it for a long time with T-Mobile. I moved somewhere, it was in Ferndale. I moved to Ferndale and couldn't get service in my house at all. I had to walk out onto my street to get a signal. I'm like, well, we don't have a house phone. Everybody here uses cell phones. Me and my wife were at the time, we both had phones on T-Mobile. Yeah, they couldn't give me a phone that would get a signal. They tried it. They didn't actually try another phone for me, but that one wouldn't get a signal either. And then they wouldn't let me out of my contract. They were going to charge me $200 for early cancellation fee for getting out of a phone that I couldn't use in my own home.
I'm guessing you got out of that. I'd have got out of that. I would have been a giant asshole.
Yep.
Until somebody was kissing my ass.
Like Bill.
But that's just me.
You know, honestly, I can't even remember how it played out because it was one of those things where that's a nice thing about having a wife.
Yeah.
They're good at certain things. You're like, yeah. Talk to these people.
No, that's my job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my job. I talk to them.
Yeah, I shouldn't. In my experience, it's the wife, but I shouldn't generalize. There's always one person that's better at that in the relationship.
Exactly.
So, at better at being the asshole at times where it matters.
That's my job.
Yeah.
I'd ask the magic question. Why are you charging me $200 to cancel service that doesn't work?
Right.
That's your fault.
But
it's not mine.
The thing is I think I tend to, you know, go for logic in my arguments. They have their own set of logic that they use
that
comes out of a little book of responses.
Like, oh, crap. And we got a smart one, page 9.
Right. And, you know, after a 40-minute conversation with them, you feel like you're in the Clockwork Orange and your eyes are spread open. You know, like you feel like you're being tortured just hearing this. It's like talking to a robot.
No, I torture them. I torture them.
Yeah.
I don't yell at them.
You gotta get to the point where you sound like you're gonna have a valid complaint to someone like an attorney general or a trade commission, like basically where you sound like they're taking your money and giving you nothing.
You have to go to Mitch and Murray. No. I'm going to Limpkin.
Yeah, well, no, just, if you make it sound like they're taking your money and not giving you anything, they'll backpedal real quick.
Yeah.
If you make it, you know, there's a difference between trying to pull something over on them and making it sound like, no, listen, you're taking money, not giving me anything. Like, they know they can get in trouble for that. That's when they start.
I'm just going to have Al Pacino do it for me. I'm going to get I'm going to line up a bunch of Al Pacino drops from Glengarry Glen Ross and have him go after him on the phone.
There you go.
You fairy. Who told you could do business with men?
Hey, I got good news for you. You're all fucking fired. No, the good news is you're all fired.
Yeah.
Oh, customer service. I'm so glad I don't work. I actually kind of do.
Fuck that job.
But it's more, I just deal with one person. I'm the customer service representative for a person, basically. I'm fine with dealing with one person because the public is fucking, I had to get
absolutely.
Out of
here. Yeah, no, corporate side of things way better than public. No thanks.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
thanks. Like, although my favorite job I've ever had was actually working retail at a record store. That was a lot of fun. But
yeah,
that was,
I've done that.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah. That was great.
Yep.
There's just no money in it.
Right. But when I worked at the record store that I worked at, I was hanging out there all the time anyway. I had already befriended pretty much everybody at the store.
Where'd you work?
At Record Exchange.
Okay.
In Southland.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very much a family. It's hard to get, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just used to working in more loose environments where we talk about
everything.
Everything, yeah. And my boss is kind of old school, and there's a girl that works with us, so the conversation's quite limited.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I always want to talk about raunchy shit, but it just kind of stifles conversation in general.
Yeah, you got to watch
with
what
someone
you're
who doesn't want to get sued. Yeah. That's what you're working
you know,
for.
Every once in a while, I get on a rant about something, or like I was telling the kid who sweeps up around there about the device that they developed that transfers visual into taste and kind of rewires people's brains. So if you're visually impaired, you can actually learn to see images based on the incoming taste information that you get.
Wow.
And they're just like, there goes Aaron again on a rant. Originally in that NPR, listening to that NPR all the time. But that is a true thing.
No, Fox News. Fox News told me all that.
Yeah.
It was all Fox.
Yeah.
What you learning for?
No, the device, so they tried it on this lady who was blind since, like, I think she was a kid. Not her whole life. What it is just, you know, a couple optical sensors and a, you know, a little box that transmits it into these, like, all the information into electronic signals that will stimulate different parts of your different taste buds. And she puts this little, basically like little metal plate on her tongue. And everything that she looks at, she gets different tastes on her tongue from, depending on the shape of it and the color of it. She said at first it was just bunch of nonsense. You know, she could say, okay, I could look over here and it tastes bitter, but it didn't mean anything.
Right.
But she eventually started to see shapes where her, you know, her brain just kind of rewired itself and said, oh, okay, well, this is where we're getting our visual information from now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's apply this in practical ways and try and give you something to use. And she can actually, like, you know, it's not that she can see details, but she can see, oh, right, there's a person there. I'm in a room. You know, I can find my way out of the room without running into furniture.
Well, aren't all our senses wired into the same part of the brain? I mean, they gotta...
The brain's a very malleable thing. It's a... It can adapt very well.
I mean, they have to all somehow be connected to each other, you'd think. If, you know, I mean, I'm sure we've all heard you lose one, another one,
right,
you know, heightens.
It's all just information. I mean, we get around visually where there's other, you know, animals like bats who learn to get around using audible signals through sonar. Mm-hmm. And they're getting... At the end of the day, they're getting the same information. I don't want to run into a bunch of stalactites.
Echolocation.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know,
sonar.
You know, finding their food or place to sleep or their mate or whatever it might be.
Our little feline friend can see in the dark.
Oh, I looked over my shoulder. I thought you were looking at the cat.
No, I'm generally pointing.
You're talking about our feline friend.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
See, we got 2 hours. We got enough. For at least a couple episodes-ish.
Yeah, I thought, if we could find one more subject to talk about, that would give us a solid 2 hours after editing.
Works for me.
But I don't have anything else.
Oh, I know. I emailed you something about something about 4chan and a murder.
What? No, I didn't see that.
No, I just, while we were talking, like maybe 10 minutes ago, I emailed
through Messenger or email?
Gmail.
I had written down on my pad here as notes... William F. Buckley AIDS tattoo, and just realized that sounds like a brilliant band name. Like, you can catch us at Clubfoot this weekend and see my band, William F. Buckley AIDS tattoo.
It'd be great. That's one of my favorite band names is San Dimas High School Football Rules.
Well, shit. Maybe overload my mic.
Never heard them, but I've I've seen the band. They were a local band. God, what the hell website was that on? Michigan Metal Bands or something like that. Like back in the day, did you see the guy that had the serial killer that had the freaking haunted house with the real bodies?
No,
you didn't hear about that story.
No,
I'm gonna look that up because
fuck,
yeah, fucking crazy. Like I guess like 50 people went through it too. Like tons of, there was 50 phone calls.
I can't remember the last time that I was in a haunted house. I mean, maybe I'm just dull talk and it would be a totally different situation when the strobe lights are on, but I cannot imagine myself even getting remotely freaked out in one. And I know there's some like crazy ones out there, but just knowing, I mean, you're walking into it knowing that none of this is real.
Like talking about haunted houses?
Yeah, how bad could it really freak you out?
What I was explaining to Aaron was there was a guy, I can't find the story right now, but there was a guy, I want to say it was Illinois, he was a serial killer, and he actually like put his bodies up on display and opened his house as a haunted house. And like, yeah, 50 people went through, and yeah, they busted him. It was pretty
creepy.
Yeah.
It's more than
New York City.
Yeah, that horror movie culture sneaking in.
Yeah.
It's like right out of Saw, and I haven't seen Saw, but that sounds like the fucked up shit that would be in one of those movies.
Yeah, really.
I don't know. I've never been one for paying for the sensation of being startled or scared. I fucking hate it, so I'm definitely not in that camp. Like, to me, that's one of the worst feelings in the world, being startled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever punched somebody at in a haunted house? It happens.
Not punched, but I mean...
they get hit every once in a while.
Did you read that 4chan thing?
Gary, Indiana. Yeah, killer turns abandoned home into haunted house with real corpses as props. Corpse as props.
Really?
Yep. Serial killer and Custer, 34-year-old Donald Van, and police have been looking for him since 05. According to police, 25 bodies have been found between 05 and 2012. All the murders with one thing in common. All the victims showed wounds with crucifixion-style markings in the hands and feet. They knew they had serial killer on their hands. However, according to police, the killer seemed to have vanished. No bodies have been found for 2 years until now. Gary, Indiana is known for their surplus of abandoned homes, 10,000 to be exact. most of them too run down to give away. Van decided to find an abandoned home to occupy and make his own. Authorities say Van turned the basement of the abandoned house into a makeshift morgue, collecting the bodies of his victims. In a videotaped confession, Van admitted he wanted to get caught. I wanted to end this, but I wanted to make sure I'd be remembered. Van said he had planned the haunted house for the last 8 months, prepping the bodies for display. He opened the doors on October 18th, and police were called immediately by terrified attendees. When we entered the home, the smell was putrid at first. I thought that odor was like a stink bomb or something, said one attendee. Then we went through, and he said bodies hanging up on crosses on the wall. It looked way too real. My husband went up close and touched it and said, let's get out of here. I think it's real. Cool. At that point, the other people that were in there with us all ran out of the house screaming. It was absolute chaos.
What a sick fuck.
Yeah, another eyewitness said Van just sat there in a chair at the door entrance while people ran out. As we were all running out and screaming, he sat to the left of the door with a psychotic smirk on his face. He just had this blank stare and emptiness in his heart, in his eyes, excuse me. I don't know which was scarier, him or the dead people. The police department received over 50 911 calls reporting the incident. Police showed up within minutes and arrested Van.
He's just waiting. Yeah. That's what he was smirking
11 murders in the home, as well as 25 murders that occurred since 2005.
Holy shit.
Yep. He already confessed to 17 out of the first 25.
Wow.
Yeah. This is on Tumblr. Who's this?
This the all Creature's went down Claw. Recently.
Yeah. October 18th. Yep. That's when that happened.
That's just straight up disturbing. I got no words for that. Yep. I mean, that's...
That'd be mucked up. That'd be really messed up, man. Because, like, what if you're, like, some 18-year-old kid in there, you know? Like, that'd mess you up for life.
Mess me up for life now. I'm 35.
Yeah, and I'll be like, you sick fuck. Shoot him in the head. That's what a right-wing, true right-wing person does, man. Yeah. He's carrying his firearm around.
Yeah, true. Leave one more corpse for the cops to find.
Yep. I don't know. Jeez. He moved. He flinched. He's coming right for me.
Yeah, I've seen 7. I know how this plays out.
Yeah. that's pretty messed up. Freaking sick-ass bastards.
Yeah, well, the shit you sent me, Chris, was about a guy who killed a girl. I didn't get to read the whole thing, but he killed a girl and posted the pics on 4chan.
Yeah, and now it's being used in the murder investigation.
Wow.
I believe it says they were used to lead it to those. God damn it, I just deleted it. I can get it out of my trash.
That threw you guys off. I just hijacked your show.
I just wanted to share the pics before they find me.
Wow.
So he knew. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's... You knew this was coming with social media, right?
You know what, man? I wonder if he's going to be tried for terrorism.
Terrorism?
Yeah, because he posted that type of picture in a public forum. Scares people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does. I mean, it's scary shit.
That's interesting.
But I'm just curious if they twist it around like that, whatever the max sentencing they can get him on. You know, they throw all kinds of charges at you. One's going to stick. That's disturbing, though. Boy, 4chan's really been in the news a lot lately.
Well, he even put her dead. He put her dead body on 4chan.
Yeah. What was the other? There was one other instance where they were in the news.
Oh, the celebrity leak.
Oh yeah,
which was huge. That's national.
Yeah.
And now that's national too, but not as quite of a, you know, TMZ's not playing it, so it's
right.
It's not quite getting to everybody.
Well, maybe the rest of the nation really should see just how sick these fucks they're raising are.
Yeah. You ever been on 4chan? There's some messed up shit on there.
I've been all over 4chan. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
No, yeah, you're on 4chan. Rob's on Reddit.
You guys
creep me out enough just telling me the things you see.
There was one the other day I was looking at shit that Rob and I were talking about on 4chan. I went on to random and you start clicking on stuff because you've never seen it before. And then there's other stuff that's not quite related. And at one point I just like shut my laptop and I was like, I wish I didn't see that. Like, I really wish I'd never seen that.
And then, wasn't it there's that one night you and Rob kept trading your laptop back and forth? Like,
yeah.
But you never saw this. Take a look at this.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a contest. It was a 4chan versus Reddit contest of how disturbing things could get. I won. 4chan beat Reddit hands down on disgusting shit.
Why? Why are we like that? I mean, even when we were younger, it was when you went and rented the Faces of Death movies. Yeah. I mean, why do we want to see that crap?
I don't know. That's a good question because
boys are dumb.
You know, the Faces of Death shit was kind of dumb.
Yeah.
And
the satanic ritual was like really
a lot of shit was faked, and the guy who was responsible for it, I forget his name, but he came out and said, you know, oh yeah, we faked this and this and that. The monkey brains thing and the senator shooting himself, I think, were the only two like real legitimate pieces of footage that they had for that. You know, the I think it was a senator that executes himself in a press conference. Have you know the video I'm talking about? It's quite famous.
No.
Yeah, he makes a statement, pulls out a gun, the whole room freaks out, and he's like, no, everyone just be, it's fine, be calm, and then puts it in his mouth and pulls the trigger, and he falls down, like, slumped against the wall, and this river of blood is just pouring down his face, like, out of his nose and mouth.
That sounds lovely.
And I can't, you know, that image is stuck with me. I wish I'd rather not have seen that.
Not stuck with me, and I'm glad.
But still, like, I still go down that path of, like, you know, you'll find whole...
You want to shock yourself even harder.
There's posts about, you know, people just have little gifs of, you know, horrible car accidents, or
I have no desire to see any of that stuff. Like, I really...
I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't... there's a lot of things that I wish that I hadn't seen, but
we've talked, I have like an aversion to violence, but still, even like, it's not even like any kind of morbid curiosity. I maybe I'm the weird one. You know, like, I don't want to, I have no desire to ever see any of that stuff ever.
It's like the Brugeria album cover in Inside Jacket is all like a guy's severed head laying in the street, like a real murder scene. And like a bunch of Brugeria, whatever. It's a death. It's a Mexican death metal band.
Wasn't Mike Patton involved with that band?
Was he?
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with that. I didn't know that.
It might be because there's a connection. If I think that's the band that Mike Patton was involved with, who has also worked with John Zorn, who there's I think it was a Painkiller was one of the metal albums that John Zorn did, and it shows an autopsied head of a man, and it's like cut open, showing his exposed brain. There's also the cover of this Naked City album has the very famous photo in New York of
like, I think it was that.
Yeah. I've seen that. Yes.
I won't show it to you. You said you don't dig that shit, so I won't.
Right,
show
that's
it.
That's a picture of an actual like
beheading.
Yeah. I guess there's a certain portion of it of just like,
yeah, there's another picture of
like, you know, looking at that and not like being afraid to look at it. Yeah. It's almost like spitting in the face of death a little bit. It's
well, but yeah, when you bump into that, it's like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, if you're not searching for it, it's...
They're on, like, Saw 8. That's what I'm seeing. Yeah, like, that kind of shit.
That
like,
shit, even, the torture porn horror movies don't even interest me.
But it means there's a market for it. Like, they're on the 8th fucking one. They don't keep making movies if they don't get watched and they don't make money.
Yeah.
Like, I just think we're just... It's one of the other downsides of the dark side of the internet here. I mean, the fact that that guy did that with that haunted house is a lot about our society and where we're heading with shit like that.
You gotta take the good with the bad.
I suppose. I just think that it's a dark side of our nature, I guess.
Yep. Well, I mean, shit, man, we're, you know, you're raising sociopaths now, you know.
Right.
It's
well, oh, a story that I heard on the radio. They were talking about shootings, like mass shootings, where, you know, whether it's a school or a mall or whatever it is, an act of insanity or terrorism or whatever you want to call it. And basically the theme of the story was, are these things increasing, or is it just because we have more access to information and we have a 24-hour news cycle that everyone talks about, and it's just more out there, it's more talked about? And they kind of had to break down the traditional data differently, because traditionally you just have like a body count of like, you know, your city's rated as being X amount of violent because you have this many murders in there. But when they started breaking it down by actual groupings of people, mass shootings, they saw a definite increase. It was like close to 25% increase in mass shootings and people shooting up schools, malls, public places, their work, whatever it may be.
I know we talked about this on one of the Unregimented, I think one of like Rich's first ones, maybe even been one of the last ones when I was out on the road of, you know, and I think you might be in the camp too, if you don't think the video games and the movies are contributing to the increasingly violent society. And I think it's a lot of life imitating art. It's I think what's happening.
I see no evidence of that.
I think there's lot more violence in it. Like, just look at from when we were a kid to now. I think there's a lot more violence in our faces, whether it's the news, whether it's movies, whether it's video games, whether it's all three. I think there's a lot more violence in our face now than there used to be. And I think, you know, you didn't hear shit like Columbine didn't happen when we were little, you know, I mean, it happened when we were young adults, but I mean, you didn't, you know, the news was still, you know, it came of age in like the 50s and 60s. It's not like all of a sudden, I mean, yeah, the 24-hour news cycle is relatively new in the last 20 years, but you didn't have things like post office shootings. You didn't have people straight up just walking into places and mowing everybody down because, you know, enough is enough. I just don't think there's a coincidence.
I think it's between anecdotal, though. I mean, maybe the two issues are tied together. Maybe they're both symptoms of a greater problem. You know,
I just don't think it's a coincidence that the more violence that has been thrown in our face has escalated in our society. I do not think that is a coincidence. I think they're hand in hand.
Well, all right. Back in 1927, there was something called the Bath School bombings.
Yeah.
Or the Bath School disaster, where a series of violent attacks perpetrated by Andrew Kehoe on May 18th, 1927 at Bath Township, Michigan, that killed 38 elementary school children and 6 adults and injured at least 58 other people. Kehoe first killed his wife, firebombed his farm, and detonated a major explosion in the Bath Consolidated School before committing suicide by detonating a final explosion in his truck. It is to this day the deadliest mass murder in a school in United States history. So that was in 1927. So that's.
But when did the. But I guess, you know, there's exceptions to the rule, but I guess my next question would be when was the next. You know, because that's the thing. We just had a school shooting last month. There's probably going to be one next month. Like, that's the thing. The frequency is the alarming thing.
Yeah, the frequency is definitely increasing. I don't think the method by which people are dying has changed that much.
No, I just think violence begets violence as far as, and like I said, you know, whether it's more war, whether it's more violence on TV, whether it's more violence in the movies, whether it's you got little Billy sitting there playing Call of Duty every day after school for 8 hours for 6 months at a time. You know, I think it manifests somehow, whether that kid starts beating kids up at school or whether we just become a more violent society or whether we just become desensitized to it. And then they make 9 Saw movies because we're used to seeing shit like that.
If you want to solve a problem like this, you have to look at why is there such a demand for violence in entertainment.
Well, I think that goes back to what I think my initial point is.
I don't think,
what is this saying about us? As a race or as a species is I guess was my overall question, you know, like it's, I think there's just some disturbing things developing.
I'm looking at the history of school shootings right now, and it breaks it breaks it down by century. 18th century, 1760s, 19th century is 1850s, 1860s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Same thing with the 21st century. So it's 1900 to 09, the 1910s through the 1990s into the 21st century.
Uh-huh.
And like when I click on like the 1850s, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Well, that was 11 in the 1960s. And then in
18 or 19?
18.
1860s.
1860s. I'm just going back to the 1800s. It's just, it's there's a mass amount. Like in the 1880s, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 3 in the same year. 2 in the same year. Yeah, like all through the 1880s that happened. I can go all the way, you know, 1907. Let's see, the 1900s.
I think the real question here is not, well, I guess it's alarming that it's happening in the first place and that it seems to be on the rise. But the bigger picture, it happens at a much higher percentage in the history of the U.S. than it does anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's another great point right there.
26 it's in the 19... Yeah, just in the 1900 to 1909 is 26.
I'd like to see the statistics on Germany. I bet you
Yeah, right.
I bet you there's a lot less school shootings.
They'll tell you everything was fine. Everybody was on vacation in the 40s.
I know where there's zero, like Russia.
Yeah.
Or maybe China.
Well, they don't count the ones where the law enforcement just comes into the school. That's more along the lines of China. Maybe Putin era Russia.
Yeah.
Vladdy will tell you everything is fine.
He'll just find an excuse to take his shirt off and distract you from the problem. Yeah.
But, I mean, it could be two things we've talked about before with the 24-hour news cycle, with people needing to fill time. I'm not saying, you know, school shootings or workplace shootings are thing to fill time with, but you probably hear about things you wouldn't hear about more now than you would have, like, 20, you know,
right.
25-plus years ago.
Well, you know, look at, I haven't seen this movie yet, but I've heard so much about it. I'm going to talk about it anyways, but this, the movie Nightcrawler. My understanding, the main character, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, the new slut of Hollywood, is has a dichotomy to him where you're kind of like, oh, that's disgusting, but also he's like, we're kind of really good at it. And, you know, you can see his side of things of where he's like, you know, just trying to report. But in order to be successful at that, it has to, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. He has to look for the violent
crime.
Took
the words right out of my mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess from one of the reviews that I've heard is that by the end of the movie, all that's pretty much taken off of the journalist and pointed at the viewer themselves and saying, well, you know, why is the biggest question is why is there such demand for this?
Yeah, why do you want to see this?
The reason that this guy is out there breaking his back and risking his life to get these horribly graphic images of people who are recently murdered or recently in car accidents is because there is a demand for it. He's not out there doing it, you know, like Bob Crane collecting a photo album of, you know, recent victims just for his own pleasure. This is something that he's doing because that's what pays.
But here comes the devil's advocate side of that argument.
Yeah.
Is perhaps we were conditioned to by this media.
I was going to say, does supply create demand?
Desensitized by them.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, we could go over this. This could be just a vicious circle that goes around for the next 2 hours with this conversation.
I put it more on the lapse of the laziness of the individual.
Yeah.
The more and more our society goes on, it gets more and more psychologically fascinating and disturbing at the same time.
Yeah, and, you know, there's always going to be mutations in humans, and this is, I mean, when you're dealing with people whose brains are dysfunctional to this level, I just look at that as another mutation. The more people you have on the earth,
it's all
the more
Monsanto's
duds you're likely to have.
Yeah, it's all Monsanto's fault, though.
Yeah.
We have all these duds because of Monsanto. And Obama.
And why not, you know, throw it in George W., too. It's also his fault.
What the hell, yeah.
What isn't Obama's fault with George W.'s fault? Let's blame everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get everybody in there.
There's plenty of room to spread. There's plenty of blame to spread around for the current generation.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it, you could say it starts at home.
It's because Jesus was taken out of the school. That's why.
Right. I mean, I did have a thought. Well, I mean, you guys know how I feel about religion, but
it's because Jesus was suspended from school for not showing up from school, showing up to school.
And he didn't get his ass whooped at home for not showing up to school, but that's another conversation. But I did have a thought this week about
you're for whooping children's asses, huh?
And they need it. I'm not saying ritualistically, hey, it's 7:30 p.m., time to get your nightly beating before you go to bed. I'm not saying
Cosby,
like that.
Let hey, the man. Beatings begin.
Nothing teaches better than pain.
No, fear.
Fear and
how
pain.
About fear? How about good old-fashioned fear?
And,
you know,
fear is learned from pain, though. And we wouldn't have evolution if we didn't have pain.
No. Right.
We'd still be amoebas. We'd still be, you know, trying to figure out how to get to a two-celled organisms if we didn't have some sort of, you know, because you have to have, it's all a feedback loop. You have to have that feedback. Otherwise, you're just stumbling around blindly.
Yeah, but I did.
So you're right,
I was,
pain teaches, but, you know, there's a line, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'd say that line is at Adrian Peterson with going and picking out the switch to get your ass whooped with and leaving a mark. Like, that's the line.
A little love tap. Just a little love tap. Not even real pain. Yeah. Just, you know.
I got the wooden spoon. I left a mark. Not often, but, you know.
We got the fly swatter and the belt. And the belt was if you really fucked up.
I got,
and it wasn't leave a mark. It was you got a spanking with the belt.
Yeah, but
I got a 6'6", 280-pound man's hand. I'll take a spoon, please.
The thing is, though. Yeah.
So like a switch.
But kids really don't respond to that as well as you might think. You get it's so much more effective just removing your attention from them.
Well, it depends. It depends on the age of the child, honestly.
Agreed.
And the intellect of the child too.
Yes.
You know, some kids are not really smart.
And what the fuck they're doing?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not going to swat my kid for like not picking up their socks or something.
Right.
The punishment has to fit the crime.
Like you lied to me. You what? Turn around.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. No, it's, I don't know, it's, you know, we could have, this is another conversation that could go on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you and I'm on. From, you know, it's, I'll blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I totally get your point.
No, but I'm from the school that you'll hear, you know, but you'll hear both people on the sides of this, but I'm from the, I got spanked when I was a kid, and I think I turned out pretty damn fine.
Yeah.
You know, and you could tell, and now, too, and I'm sure all of us dealing with younger people, you could tell who was never told no.
Yeah, exactly.
It carries over into adulthood.
Yep.
And you have to fire those people.
Absolutely.
They've never been told no, never been told they've never done a good job at anything.
This is why we need it right to work.
Yeah.
If we didn't have this generation.
Oh. I'm leaving.
Slackers.
I'm leaving. Yeah.
Oh. You should thank Snyder.
Hey, well, you know, a point I did wanted to make about that, and way back at the beginning of all of this, which will probably end up being last show, you know, I said, you know, way to turn out labor and get Snyder out of there. Could perhaps, maybe.
I said I did. I showed up.
No, but I mean, not you personally. I know what I'm saying.
I know, but I'm just saying.
But I'm saying maybe
it takes many of me to do that.
But maybe they weren't motivated enough because maybe it's not as bad as they thought. Everybody still has their jobs. Everybody's still in the union. Now there's just people in the shop who don't pay union dues.
No, there's not. It doesn't. That law didn't matter.
Well, then there you go. See, then nothing.
It matters for like it does matter, but it's
they weren't motivated enough.
You're not
the change didn't hurt them that much, apparently, if they didn't turn out in force, you know?
Right.
I mean, think about it. I mean, too, Obama was at, Wayne State last Saturday? I read the transcript of the speech he gave. They didn't knock right to work in there hardly at all.
That's how close I was to Rick Snyder.
Oh, yeah. You could, like...
Oh, the camera.
If you chucked a lighter at him, you could probably peg him in the head, no problem.
Actually, this picture looks a lot further away than it is. I'm not that... Not that far away from it.
You could have took him out, been a hero for
no, no, no. I'm not going to talk like that.
What, to a ball game?
Yeah.
Yeah, for dinner.
Take me.
Took him out for a steak.
There you go. I got video of it even.
Oh, yeah.
Of him doing a ribbon cutting.
What? Where's that at?
Shore Mortgage over at 15 and Stevenson Highway.
He's doing the ribbon cutting on a business?
Yes. It was on Shore Mortgage. They created like 1,500 jobs.
Shore
Mortgage. Yeah, Shore Mortgage. Yeah, they created like 1,500 jobs lickety split. And, you know, that was Snyder had a lot to do with that. No, I don't know. I mean, being a union member, I have to be on the side of not right to work. But I could understand, like, when I was non-union, how I would like the same protections as a union person. But that would have to come at a different level. You know, it would have to be state level. Like, okay, minimum wage is actually, like, if you're, it would have to be all state mandated, like, pricing for people if you didn't have a union to negotiate wages for people. You know, because if you just let corporations loose, they're going to pay everybody minimum wage regardless of their talent, you know, if they can get away with it. So,
just the one element I like of right to work is it makes people in shops normal people as far as, like, if Aaron and I, go tomorrow to our jobs and fuck up royally. We're not going to have jobs anymore. You know, and I feel a lot of that, the union protects a lot of that, which this could get into conversation with unions. Some have become what they were rallying against when they started. But
I'm part of a labor union, so it's a lot different than shop unions. You know, I'm part of a the labor union's a labor pool. So, like, basically a contractor has a big job. He needs 300 guys. He hires 300 guys out of a union hall. Those 300 guys come out. Right. They do the job. They get the job done. They go back to the union hall. Like, the contractor doesn't need them anymore. So they lay them off and send them back to the union hall for another job call of such. Which, you know, that's a different kind of union than, like, the teacher's union where they get tenure and things of that nature.
Right.
And, like, paid vacations. Well, I don't get paid vacations, man. I got to pay for my own vacations. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't work. I don't get paid. Doesn't matter what the holiday is. So my type of union, I'm kind of cool with that, you know?
Yeah.
I get paid a good wage or, you know, a living wage. I can, you know, well, there's five people on my wage. I don't complain. I don't have a ton of money. And when I was non-union, I made a lot less.
Really?
A lot less. Yeah, like $12 an hour or less. Like from my starting wage of being into the union, from my top wage of being at a company for 5 years. So, and that's because it's all negotiated.
Right.
You know, my health insurance negotiated. You know, I didn't have to. I don't have to worry about that. So it's like basically a corporation. The way I look at it, it's a corporation negotiating with corporations in behalf of like a democratic voting process. I'm okay with that. But like protecting turds, I'm not okay with because I think unions should be held to a high standard of, you know, like high quality. It should stand for high quality. You pay a little bit more, but you get a lot more quality out of it. It's not like that. So I'm not for protecting the turds. Yeah, I'm not for protecting the turds. I totally agree with you on that. Because, you know, I work really freaking hard, you know, and if somebody else doesn't work really hard and they're making the same amount of money I am, well, that really sucks.
That breeds contempt.
Exactly. So, but I mean, you know, and laziness and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I try not to let that bother me because, you know, it's like those people. I know I've been the same company for 7 years. I know those people are going right back to the hall after this job's done or they're going back to the hall like now. Because if you're not competent in where I work, if you're not competent in what you do, you're not staying with us.
Yeah.
So like you'll go back to the union hall, you know, and the companies have the rights to do that when you're in a union. Or if you're non-union, the company doesn't really have the right to do that. I mean, they can fire you, but they have to have a like really, really good reason, like a pretty good, like, you know, they can find it really quickly and easily, but they have to have a good reason to prove by law that you can't be employed with them anymore.
Yeah.
Where in a labor union, all the company has to do is say, oh, we don't have any work for you. And they lay them off. And then 2 days later, they put in a job call because that guy just got put at the end of the books.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, they, you know, put in a job call and they get another guy. So, you know, it's a way to keep the turds out of where you're working. I don't know. I think it's been a lot of attacks on quote unquote working, well, on working people, you know, with taxing of like pensions and things of that nature and, you know, removing benefits that people have already paid for. I know I'm coming back around to where I was earlier, but removing benefits from people. You know, that they worked 30 plus years for.
Yeah.
And, you know, that money should have been banked. They got duped. And, there again, losing my point. Damn.
I think you had a laundry list of complaints against the government that you were going down.
Isn't that what most of these shows are?
Yeah.
I was trying not to go there tonight.
Hey guys, thanks for listening, thanks for clicking, thanks for liking, thanks for sharing, thanks for subscribing for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for telling a friend. I probably already said that, but that's how important it is because that's how podcasts work. We drop every Monday and Thursday. Check out all of the other shows on ChristopherMedia.net. So stay tuned, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.